Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Big announcement today from the president when it comes to marijuana.
Today I'm pleased to announce that I will be signing an executive order to reschedule marijuana from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3 controlled substance with legitimate medical uses. We have people begging for me to do this, people that are in great pain.
So what's it mean for Texas?
While the executive order does not federally legalize marijuana, it is one significant step closer, according to Heather Fazio of the Texas Cannabis Policy Center.
This is definitely a step in the right direction, acknowledging that cannabis does have medicinal value and acknowledging that the risks have been overblown by prohibitionists over the years.
Schedule 3 drugs are defined as having a moderate to low potential for physical or psychological dependence.
It simply makes it easier to do research and has some other ancillary benefits, like benefits for businesses when it comes to taxes.
From the 24-hour news center, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
A man convicted in a 2017 Frisco killing has been sentenced to life in prison without parole. A jury found 44-year-old Carrico Carr guilty of capital murder. The 2017 cold case was after a witness misidentified the suspect, but was reopened back in 2023. Now, investigators later identified Carr as the shooter with the help from another suspect who was with him that day. Carr was arrested in Arkansas after serving time in federal prison in an unrelated identity theft case. Jurors also heard a recorded jail call in which Carr admitted being at the scene to collect money. He received an automatic life sentence without parole.
Oklahoma man pleads guilty to child exploitation charges.
Prosecutors say 44-year-old Rolando Bravo drove three minors from Lawton, Oklahoma to Dallas, where he handed them off to another person who then took them to Tyler. The kids were then placed in a hotel room in Tyler where they engaged in prostitution. Bravo has pleaded guilty to child exploitation charges and faces up to life in federal prison. From the 24-hour news center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Three people are facing human trafficking charges in Johnson County. Prosecutors say they expect to make more arrests.
The Johnson County Sheriff's Office worked with the FBI and Burleson Police on an investigation into a suspected human trafficking operation. They executed search warrants at one location in Burleson and two locations in Cleburne. Two men and one woman were arrested. They're charged with continuous trafficking of persons and racketeering. The Johnson County District Attorney says it appears they had ties to other locations in Texas and other countries, and he expects to carry out more search warrants and make additional arrests. From the 24-hour news center, Stephen Pickering, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Feds say the founder of Irving's Tricolor Holdings ran a scheme to cheat the lender's biggest backers out of $1 billion.
Daniel Chu, the company's founder and CEO, was charged in an indictment unsealed Wednesday in a Manhattan federal court. Authorities say Chu directed other top executives starting in 2018 to mislead investors and lenders by fabricating data and making false statements. Chu was arrested in Florida. 49-year-old David Goodgame of Waxahachie, Tricolor's former chief operating officer, was arrested in Texas. Prosecutors also announced guilty pleas from two other former executives. U.S. Attorney Jay Clayton said Chu repeatedly lied to banks and credit providers, making fraud an integral component of Tricolor's business strategy. From the 24-hour news center, Jeff Burkett, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
The Cotton Belt Trail, linking several North Texas cities, just got a major funding boost. The $25 million in grant money comes from the Texas Transportation Commission, headed to DART, which is helping to develop the Cotton Belt Trail. Now, it's going to run alongside the new Silver Line and is a 26-mile corridor linking Plano to DFW Airport. 11 miles in Phase 2 is underway. The grant is for Phase 3A, and that phase of construction is set to get underway in the middle of 2027.
They're not going to be hosting the Lombardi Trophy this year. That's going to come as a shock, but they are still number one in the category that matters.
We're always number one.
It's the category that matters most to old Jerry.
There's no change at the top in 2025.
Touchdown, Dallas!
Dallas.
For a 10th straight year, the Dallas Cowboys are number one, valued at $13 billion, followed by the Golden State Warriors at $11 billion, the New York Giants at $10.1 billion, the Los Angeles Lakers at $10 billion, and the New York Knicks at $9.75 billion. Just 6 years ago, the Cowboys were valued at $5 billion. Now, $5 billion wouldn't get a team into the top 50. Forbes credits the huge media rights deals sports leagues have signed. Wow. Michael Wallace, CBS
News. That's incredible. 5-6 years ago, worth $5 billion, now 13.
Is there any doubt?
Now, you break it down by sport. The average NHL franchise is now worth $2.2 billion. Major League Baseball, $2.6 billion. Would you believe that's less than half of what the average NBA franchise is worth? Those teams are up to $5.4 billion.
Now, that one is the head scratcher to me, because I just see the NBA as not nearly as culturally relevant as it was 10 years ago.
I would have put that the other way.
Yeah.
I would have to think that the baseball was much higher than it is, and the NBA is lower. But the NBA, they're at $5.4 billion. Then you get the NFL at $7.1 billion, which is, by the way, up 25% just from last year. And almost 60% from 3 years ago.
It's really all these TV revenues. That's it. The bottom line is that the only thing that really people watch continually to this day that draws any ratings is live action sports. That's it.
Well, they figured out, the NFL figured out, when you a la carte it and give, here, you, Netflix, you can have a few games. Amazon, you can have a few. When you do it that way, you're going to make a lot more money that way.
And you just saw the television ratings for that Turkey Day game, the Cowboys Chiefs, 57 million
I know.
People watch that thing.
Highest regular season game ever in terms of ratings. Matter of fact, the only NFL franchises not to crack the top 50 on this list are the Saints and the Bengals. And even they're worth about $5.3 billion apiece.
Boy, and that's why so many guys, when they retire, are looking to invest in some kind of sports team. Even the WNBA is getting investors. Why? Because usually you're going to see that increase. You're not going to lose money on that thing.
That's why all these owners are doing it. We single out Jerry as, you know, but it's not just him.
No.
This is an investment for these guys.
He was the most innovative, and he is one of the only family members that is still owning his team instead of a corporation.
The fans, meanwhile, Cowboy fans, coming to grips with the team's likely failure to make the playoffs again, and another year of futility on the field. The Athletic Football Show, they got this call from one of those fans who was out. He's out taking his dog for a late night walk following the Vikings loss Sunday night. And he made that call just as the dog was doing what dogs will do.
He's just squatted to start doing his business, and it's begun to smell like the Cowboys defense out here. I mean, we gave up 34 points to J.D. McCarthy tonight. The Parsons trade is what it is at this point. We got Quinnen Williams. We got some other guys. We gave up 34 points to the Vikings. And on a day where Parsons tears his ACL, Quinnen Williams gets injured, the last guy standing is Jerry Jones, the multi-billionaire vampire that seems to just live off of my hopes and dreams. Am I dumb? Am I the idiot? Am I the problem in my life for continuing to fall for a marketing firm with a football hobby?
Marketing firm.
Is this ever going to get better, or am I just a lost cause as well?
It's very introspective.
I guarantee a lot of Cowboys fans have thought that. Am I part of the problem here for still going to those games, paying attention?
This looks like something you'd ask a therapist. We'll answer it for you, though. Yeah, you are a lost cause, but it's okay because we're all lost causes.
I am too.
When it comes to the Cowboys, and we have been for 31 years. I have a question. Now that the Cowboys are done, who are you pulling for, or do you care?
I'm rooting for the Bills because this is the one year they don't have the Chiefs. The Ravens, you don't know if they're getting in. Josh Allen, I've always rooted for him. The Buffalo fans,
we killed them
for four straight.
And I know, losing those four straight Super Bowls, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Denver. You know, I lived in Denver for 12 years. My dad and I had season tickets at the old Mile High Stadium, so I wouldn't mind the Broncos.
In the NFC, I'm rooting. I know if they still have to get in, but I'm rooting for Detroit. They have been bad for years.
Then there's Nick Reiner. We're going to get to that. Nick Reiner accused of murdering his parents, of course, Rob and Michelle Reiner, and he made his first court appearance on Wednesday wearing a blue vest and shackles and behind a plexiglass shield.
Yeah, and that vest was so he wouldn't commit suicide.
Reiner did not enter a plea on the two counts of murder. That's going to happen in a later hearing. And there's a lot of speculation that he and his high-profile lawyer, Alan Jackson, are going to go with a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity, citing Nick Reiner's history of drug addiction. Legal experts, though, say if that is true, if that happens, it may just be because there's no other option.
Yeah, that's the only thing you can go with.
Right. There's nothing
Everyone
left.
Knows he did it.
Matt Murphy is a former L.A. County prosecutor. He was on Megyn Kelly's podcast yesterday. He says insanity defenses are very difficult to prove in California.
California uses what's known as the McNaughton rule. And essentially, it's a 150-year-old rule that provides that if you understand the nature and quality of your acts, you are responsible for them, even if you're suffering from mental illness or if you're suffering from intoxication. So what that means is if you've got somebody that's howling at the moon and they don't know what they're doing, that's a case that you might have a shot at insanity. Otherwise, even if they're drunk, even if they're high, even if they are suffering from mental illness, if they understand the nature and quality of their actions, in other words, they understand that they're killing human beings and not stabbing bananas or aliens or whatever crazy delusion they're suffering from, they are legally responsible in the state of California. And as crazy as California is, and it feels like it gets a little crazier every day, sort of pro-defendant, that is a law that they haven't touched yet, and that is the current state of the law.
So saying I was drunk or I was high, not enough.
Yeah, that's true, because, you know, as drunk as I could get right now, I know that if I did something wrong, I wouldn't murder someone. I know in my head
you would still know
this
right
is wrong.
Yeah, and Reiner's defense team is going to have to overcome that. And then there's the nature of the crime itself.
Hold on.
Stabbing murders are the worst because it's not like TV where somebody gets stabbed once with a knife and they fall down dead. That's what you see in the movies. In reality, they die from what's called exsanguination. That means they bleed to death, and that takes minutes, which means they are fighting, they're running around. And the rumor is, this is from multiple sources, I don't know if this is true and we don't know the evidence yet, and of course he's presumed innocent, but rumor is that he cut both of their throats. And when you present one of those as a prosecutor...
Well, they said while in bed.
Right. But if you go back later and you cut their throats or you slash their wrists, and I've prosecuted those too in stabbing cases, juries do not like that. It shows a calculated, cold-blooded, premeditated nature. Even if the initial contact or the initial fight is spontaneous and hot-blooded, when the killer goes back and cuts throats, that is such a... just a decidedly vicious move.
Jurors don't like that. I think that's the understatement of the day. Honestly, when they said premeditated, I kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit. But now looking at the nature of the crime and hearing some of that, it makes you – it absolutely seems premeditated. If he had stabbed him initially and then went back to finish the job.
That's in bed?
In bed. Oh, my God.
Yikes.
At first, you think when you hear this, okay, they got into some heated argument, and it was just he was so enraged that he did something that maybe he regrets. But then when they're in bed.
And then you mentioned the toxicology part of it. How long was it after the murders that they finally got him?
He was walking around.
Some of that may have worn off.
And that's what I'm saying. You had 5 hours. You mentioned that 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever it is, some of it's going to wear off, and you don't know how heavily that was hitting that person at the time of the crime. And then, like you said, wears off a little bit. It's not as intense.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD. If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.